cameras in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Got the cameras, I'm out the
Greek. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Get off your computer, Angela Yee.
Why?
It's Black Friday.
Why would I get off my computer? I'm going to be on it all day. Are you crazy?
Right.
You know, first of all, Cyber Monday is a bigger deal than Black Friday for us to do online shopping, if you know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Some of those deals have been available already. People don't even wait until Black Friday now. So,
all right, you did.
You know,
shopper.
I already been doing all I got to do to buy presents for all of my family. I hate waiting until the last minute.
Oh, hello to you too, Charlamagne.
Hey.
Well, it is Black Friday.
Y'all cute.
There's a lot of sales going on today. I know a lot of y'all are running around into those sales, so just keep the Breakfast Club on.
You know I'm black, and it's Friday.
It's the Breakfast Club. Don't move. That was Needed Me, Rihanna. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. We premiered his record earlier this week.
Yeah, man.
Big Crit.
What's happening?
What's up, sup? Man. Independent Crit.
Oh, yo, Independent Crit. More tied to the sun die, man.
There you go.
Feel good.
Man. I always feel bad, man. I did this morning. I'm going to tell you why. I feel bad because I be mentioning all of, like, new, young, hot, fresh rappers.
Okay.
And I always forget to say Big Crit name. And as soon as they leave my mouth, I'm like, damn, I ain't say Crit.
Hey, man, but we still out here making it happen, though. And that gives me the opportunity to still put out this quality music. So, you know, we still winning.
Absolutely.
We're still good.
Absolutely.
And I was telling you when I saw you out there that I loved your performance at the BET Hip Hop Awards.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
It's a dope performance.
Man, I'm still trying to get my mind wrapped around it all. Because, you know, obviously you want to be able to do your best on stage. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I got overwhelmed and kind of broke down, man, because it's such an important topic. Want to bring awareness. And I've been putting a lot of that content in my music from years ago, bro, but to be on that kind of platform and be able to do that, you know, it was amazing.
How'd you get off Def Jam?
Hey, man, because, you know, I don't know, man. They left me in the dungeon as a dragon. It was cool. And then they just forgot about me. So I kind of creeped on about that thing. And I'm free. And I'm a real kind of free. And then I finally got to perform on an award show after the fact.
Which is weird, though, it's not like you don't sell records. I mean, you do pretty good.
It was during that transition from CD sales to streaming, where everybody was trying to figure out where's the game going. And, you know, if you're not streaming or getting massive numbers, it's like, well, you might not have a place. But, no, hard copy sales still exist, and we're going to get those and the new streaming aspect.
Being a young man from Mississippi, was the industry everything you thought it was going to be?
Woo! Yeah. Because it's like the whole idea, like, you got to get out here and still make it work for you. Mm-hmm. And there's so many sharks and all those warnings, like, yo, when you put your name on that contract, you might not never get out the deal. Mm-hmm. So it was a blessing for me to really be able to kind of walk away independent on all my everything and be out here just doing it. And now, from this point on, it's partnerships. You can't just sign Big Crit.
No. You look even younger now than you did when you first came out.
Oh, man, I lost like 30-some pounds.
You know what I'm saying? Like, younger.
I eat vitamins and stuff now. Like, I'm chilling. I ain't drinking as much, you feel me? And, and I grew this beard.
Right. So when you first came into the game, you felt like it was a lot of social drinking and not eating right and not being healthy. And now you've been more conscious of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you get a little bit of money, especially when, for me, it was like I just overindulged. You know, I was going to Ruth Chris Del Frisco. As soon as we leave here, I'm at Del Frisco every time. Like, bro, give me 3 appetizers, the steak, I'm going in.
Right.
And before you know it, you 30 pounds in. And you your chest hurting, and you like, man, I'm only 27 years old.
It's like that freshman 30.
I'm done with that, though.
So you like vegan now?
No, I'm still cranking the steak here and there, but I done calm down, man, because I'm trying to be here as long as I possibly can. You know, being on stage and sweating it out and being heavy, that ain't working. And y'all
did something
happen
that made you feel like, I got to clean this up?
I would say just the drinking aspect, and you start waking up, your back start hurting, and then you start seeing a lot of people that they're in the industry, they're older than you, and they getting right, you know what I'm saying? I was watching Luda go in and Slim Thug and all these people. I'm like, man, I got to get it together. They trying to let me know, like, all right, youngin', you need to start eating better. And then before long, you know, you get in the gym, you start training, you start feeling better, you're on stage, you feel better, and then everybody can see it on you, like, hey, man, you you looking better. Right. So that's enough for me.
As long as you can look down and see your dick, you're fine.
Hey, that's a great thing.
That's all it boils down to.
Hey, that's what I'm trying. It was getting to the point where I was like, hold on.
Lord,
and
have
then
mercy.
If you resting your hands on your stomach while you kicking it. Man, I was.
Wish you would get to produce this.
And that's what was going on. You know it's real when your partner's just like, man, you eating real good, Chris. And you don't know if that's a compliment.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, I'm in the mirror like, man, my chain don't really bounce on my chest like it used to because it's resting. Nah, we fixed that.
Now, the verse you did at the BET Hip Hop Awards, that was from a song called Might Not Be Okay.
Might Not Be Okay, man.
Why might not it be okay?
Well, shout out to the homie Kenneth Whalum because I did the record with him, amazing musician, amazing artist, and he's the person singing on the hook, and he produced the record. But it was right after Mr. Sterling that got killed, and the footage that came out, I had dropped 12 for 12 that day, and then that night, everybody saw that footage. And for me as an artist, it really hurt me because I was like, man, I'm doing music, I'm trying to say these things and be aware, but is music really helping people? Is it healing anything? And I probably took a whole week off from writing or even worrying about going to the studio, and I called Kenneth, and I was like, man, at some point, what if it's not okay? Like, what if it's a higher level of this that we aren't realizing where it's going to take it's that good and evil, it's those energies that's going to fix this. What if just our conscious mind can't get wrapped around, like, there's just some people that don't want to see you breathe. And it's nothing you can do about that. And so that was the idea, to create a song that was so honest, me not really trying to be a superhero rapper and, oh, are we going to be good? Like, nah, man, like, what if this isn't okay?
That record resonates with me because that's truly how you feel. Like, you wake up some mornings and you like, what can I do in that situation?
Man.
And somebody always says to me, like, people be like, what's the difference between black-on-black crime and police brutality? For me, the biggest difference is if a brother tries to get at me, I can defend myself.
Yeah.
I can't do that with the police.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah, that gives you a helpless feeling.
And that's kind of scary now. It's like, you don't know what to do. Like, back in it, it's like, all right, man, I'm just worried about going to jail.
Yeah.
I get pulled over. No sudden moves, it's just gonna grab me. You don't know what to do. Yeah. Now you're like, okay, I don't know how he feeling today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's a scary thing. And I tell them, man, people don't pull over because they not scared of you. They pull over because they're scared. Like, man, okay, let me get over here. All right, the people that take off and trying to get through traffic while you chase them, they ain't scared.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, those are the people who are like, man, if I'm pulled over, bro, I'm really like, whew.
I won't make it home.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm... Exactly.
I pull over nowadays when the blue light's not on. Like, if I'm driving and I see a cop behind me,
you just
I let him pass me. I let him pass. I'm like, oh, no problem.
I don't even want to do that because I feel like that looks suspicious.
That looks a little suspicious.
I don't care.
Crank the gas station or something if you just feel like you're just going to pull over.
I pull over, jump out, go act like I'm getting something, come back out. Like, okay.
The other day, I got pulled over right around the corner from my house, and I had two of my friends in the car. They pulled us over. We all put our hands up. Like, we don't have nothing in it. They was like, put your hands down. Stop playing. I was like, we're not playing. We just want to make sure everybody's good.
Wow.
Good to go. And they just let me go because I think they were a little offended.
You don't know.
All right, we got more with Crit when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Big Crit is in the building, Yee.
Do you think that artists need to be more responsible in their lyrics? Like, we were having this whole discussion about what Donald Trump said and got caught on camera saying. And a lot of people were like, well, that's how rappers talk all the time anyway. Do you feel like that's something that we need to hold each other accountable for when somebody says something that's out of order? Just call them out on it.
Well, I mean... I'm not running for president, you know what I'm saying, first off. And a president isn't a rapper. For them, however they express themselves is totally different than our genre of music and what we grew up and how we've expressed ourselves in the neighborhoods we come from, the lingo, the slang. Obviously, hip-hop is an art form. So you paint whatever you want on this canvas. I don't really call a thing of politics as an art form. You know, what are you going to do for people, the society? It's a different way, a different lingo of talking or expressing yourself than rap. Rap may be just personally how you feel and what everybody else thinks. I don't think a politician or a president can think that way.
Right.
You know, you have to think for the mass majority.
Right.
So you can be self-centered and be a rapper because people also feed into that mentality because most people, you know, might not have the courage to say, "Fuck you," to their boss. But they listen to their favorite rapper and that make them feel like, you know what, But we do have to take account what we do say on records, explain at the end of the day, or give the opposite spectrum, you know, and that's what I try to do in my music, and I've always tried to do that. But I'm not perfect, man.
I think politicians should take a page out of rapper book. Like my man Nori always says that Trump turned the campaign into a smack DVD battle. It's a level of realness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody care about that politician say everything right, politically correct stuff no more.
But you kind of, the problem with that is you kind of want them to a little bit, because you go overseas and you doing a lot of these, you talking to a lot of these ambassadors and stuff like that. You don't want to just be, yeah, man, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with
this? Definitely don't want a president to be like, boom, 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 boom,
yeah, like, we need the whole, you know, nah, man, you got it. Because you're speaking for the, you speaking the for the people.
Yeah.
You can't be
like
that.
Yeah.
Nah, you can't be like that. You got to act like you just walked in somebody's mama house.
That's why being politics is being political. It's not about being as real as you can be. It's about, okay, what is the best decision that we can make and how can we make this work for the good of everybody?
Right.
As much as you can.
And you can still put a little bit of coolness on top of it, but don't overdo it. You know what I'm saying?
So what do you think's next for Crit, man?
Man.
Not just the album, but, like, I just see you doing more than just music.
We working on it, though. I mean, I ain't decided on the whole getting into no movies and nothing like that, but if I do, again, it's more scoring.
I'm talking about on a revolutionary level.
Oh, psh, bro, I'm waiting. I mean, and at the same time, it's other people like Killer Mike, Talib Kweli, David Banner that I could also look to and, you know, and talk to about this. But it's one of those things where now it's going to have to be a lot of talking, lot of explaining, a lot of just being on the ground. You know, I've been doing a lot of music, and which would be the background or the theme music for a lot that's going on. But I think now that I'm older and I've gotten to a point where I'm realizing, yeah, those are songs, but I got to get out here and start talking to these people too, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, I heard you on T.I.'s EP also.
That's the homie. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, I appreciate him putting me on that kind of record. And even Tip know what it is. Now it's like, man.
Tip ain't getting no props for that Us or Else EP.
Right.
Hard.
Going in.
But it's because it's socially conscious. Don't nobody. I mean, it's weird. Like, we claim to want revolution and want liberation. Mm-hmm. But then when our artists do what we want them to do, actually speak about something, We don't support it.
I mean, well, it goes farther. I mean, the artist, you do what you can to promote it, but it's also still up to a lot of people to play it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if, you know, a radio record normally is a record that has a certain BPM and it feels a certain way and then go club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be more on us now to change what a radio record is and what gets played in the club or what can be acceptable and socially conscious and still jam and introducing it to the people that normally don't listen to nothing but the radio.
Right.
All right. You see Birth of a Nation yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I just got the book. I ain't never got a gift since I came here, and I appreciate that.
normally,
the first thing that happened is, oh, where Def Jam at? So, thank you, brother, for understanding. Yeah. I ain't watched it yet.
You gotta go see it. It only made $7 million last weekend. We gotta support that.
Bet. You ain't said nothing. And I'm gonna see that 13th, too.
You gotta watch that.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you joining
man,
us.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man, as always, man.
Anytime you're in town, you know you're always welcome.
No doubt. Listen, y'all heard that.
You heard that.
I'm a father. See, here you go. I ain't saying all. We still got love for everybody.
Right.
We got love. Well, it's more tied to the sundial.
All right, it's Big Crit. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Beyonce with a Hold Up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, and Charlamagne is the only guest that I've seen Charlamagne offer somebody tea or water.
Not the only guest I've ever offered tea or water.
No, I actually have never seen him do that either.
Would you like some tea? Would you like some water?
But that's usually because I offer liquor.
Why did you offer her some liquor?
I just noticed the bar. I knew about the bar, but I didn't fully know about it.
We have Lena Dunham here.
Do you want some cognac?
Welcome to the show.
You seem like a cognac drinker.
I've never had cognac.
Really?
Do you drink?
I drink like a quarter of a glass of wine, pass out, do things no one wants to talk about, throw up,
okay,
and carry on. Like, it's like I'm the easiest drunk in the world.
Got you.
You did homework for the show, and you actually watched some interviews.
I did.
We were asking, what interviews did you enjoy? What did you like?
Well, I just love watching you guys do your thing. And it's so much more about sort of like all of your connection than it is even about the guest. But two interviews I particularly enjoyed, the Post Malone interview. I don't know why. I just like, maybe it's like the angry college girl in me just like seeing a couple of people like stick it to a long-haired white guy. Like, that's just something that gives me pleasure.
Okay.
And then watched the Brandy interview, which I've always been a massive Brandy fan since Moesha, so I was just liked how like serious it got and how deep you got in there, although you said that it became a little tense.
She was upset after.
I will tell you this. I do not have a driver's license. and I'm a 30-year-old woman, never got it. I made the mistake of going down the Wikipedia rabbit hole, celebrities who have killed people with their cars. And I was like,
why would you look that up? Like, what made you Google that?
I don't want to ever join this Wikipedia list, and I feel like I really would if I was given my license. So I'm going to continue this Uber lifestyle for as long as it'll happen.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you. Because your thoughts become things. So if you're constantly thinking about, I'm going to kill somebody in this car, I'm going to kill somebody in this car, you might end up killing somebody
in the
car.
I think she thought she was going to kill somebody. She just said she didn't want to. That wasn't
I
kind
of knew I was going to kill somebody.
Nice. That was
wrong. But there has to be times when you go somewhere and it would be so convenient for you to get a rental.
You need to be able to drive. It's an adult skill. And I don't want to be like a mom who can't drive my kids to the hospital, but we'll get to that.
Now let's talk about Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Last season of Girls coming up.
We just wrapped 4 days ago.
I saw your very emotional letters that you were writing.
Does it feel over?
You know, we still have to edit it, we still have to promote it, but I have to say that last night I was weeping like a mother bleeping baby. I couldn't believe it, just because it's been my whole I started writing the show when I was 23. I'm 30 now. Those are all that's my family. Those are my best friends. So it felt like this crazy loss. And even though we can all like go out to dinner, we've formed this incredible culture, and like I woke up the next day and I was like, what do I even do with myself? Mm-hmm. Who am I? Like, I kind of walked out into the street like, what do I do when I'm not on this television show? I guess the answer is come to the Breakfast Club and bother you guys.
Why do you feel like it had to be the last season, though? Because I felt like it could have continued on.
It's a great question. I mean, I think it's like when people start a job so young, you have to give them room to grow. And I'm including myself, but I'm also thinking about all the actors that I work with. Like, their careers are taking off. Adam's in Star Wars. Allison's starring in this movie that's going to be amazing. Jordan Peele's movie Get Out, which is coming out in February. Mm-hmm. They all have, I mean, Jemima's a painter, she has two kids. Everyone has passions, and like, I want to let them grow and develop. And I felt like there was a certain point, I never wanted to become that show where everyone's like, yeah, I'm just going to my day job. Like, we've had so much love for it every day that we've done it. And I wanted to go out with us all still having that connection and that passion for what we do, because I think it translates onto the screen. And I feels like the moment where it's like, we've kind of captured this magic energy between us, so let's finish out the way we started. And it was beautiful. Like, at the end, we all cried, we all hugged, we were all like, you're my sister. Give it 3 more years, and we all would have been like,
I hate you.
Ever fucking look at me again. I can't believe you wore the same dress as me to this award show. We never got into that zone.
Now, let's talk about Black people.
I'm in.
Now, when Girls first started, you got a lot of controversy because they said you didn't have a lot of Black faces on it. Do you think
they said, especially in Brooklyn, where there's such a diverse amount of different races, they were like, why is there no Black
people? Think you've made up for that over the seasons?
I'm not going to say that I've made up for it, because I think that when I started the show, I was 23, and I'm half Jewish and half Christian. I wrote like 2 Jews and 2 Christians. Like, it was so close to home for me. And I was writing these characters who were all in some way extensions of myself. Looking back, like, I never want to see another poster that's 4 white girls. I don't think we need to live in a world where we have a poster that's 4 white girls. Right. That being said, the fact is like, the experience of being a young Black woman in Brooklyn is different than the experience of being a young white woman in Brooklyn. And I wanted to write from a place of accuracy and passion and understanding. And so in the future, I would love to collaborate with and support women who want to tell their stories, rather than attempt to sort of co-opt their stories so that I have the cast that looks great on a poster.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of women of color feel like you ignore them when it comes to like feminism. I see articles where they say you focus on feminism, but you mean equality for white women and not Black women of color.
That's definitely a criticism that I've gotten. And it's one of the main reasons, again, that Jenny Connor and I started Lenny Letters, just to have a diversity of voices and to say, like, I've been given this incredible gift. She's been given this incredible gift to share what we have to say. So how can we spread that? And I have to say, like, over the 6 years of doing Girls, I've learned so much about intersectional feminism. I mean, it's like, even though white women can sometimes feel like a repressed minority, there's an entire subsection of issues that we can't even relate to, like the sense that you have to be scared when your child leaves the house, like the sense that you don't know if they're going to be able to come home, like the fact that people are assuming that you're not capable of doing a specific kind of job. Like, and so every
single... Oh, you've been having some conversations with some Black women, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I have some really... I mean, I'm not trying to brag about it.
Goodness gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lena Dunham.
Thank
it's
you.
The Breakfast Club. Good
what
morning.
An honor. Living the dream.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building this morning.
Yes.
I actually thought he was here before, but he wasn't. And that's because my mother-in-law watches the show.
No, let's be clear. He confused you
the time
with Jerry Springer, Steve.
Oh, geez. I should be insulted.
You know what? I was flying back from Las Vegas, and the flight attendants were like, oh, you're from Jerry Springer, you know? And I'm like, man, I've had my own show for 10 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 years.
You know who I was thinking? The Playboy guy.
That runs the bunny ranch.
Yes.
No.
He looks like him a little bit.
Oh, my
Dennis
God. That guy's like 80
he
years old.
He does not look like Dennis Hoff. You are Jesus. Crazy.
Hey, you want some moisturizer, Steve?
Wow.
I got some lotion. You need anything? You want
Steve, welcome.
Man, if I look that bad.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I can't blame you if you feel like leaving now.
Jesus Christ.
Now, but congratulations on 10 years.
10 years. Thank you. Officially the most successful security guard since Suge Knight.
Black police officer.
And I do feel like running people over, too, so.
Now, you used to be a cop, right?
Yeah.
In Chicago?
Yep.
How was that? Because that's probably one of the worst areas in the country right now.
Yeah. I just came out of the Marines, so when I did it, I really enjoyed doing it. But then you just kind of get beaten down because, you know, people don't like the police.
Right.
You're fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. And you don't make a lot of money, so it's just, you know, like I said, if you know, you get a gun and a badge, you're 26 years old, you're going out catching a bad guy, it was fun. But after about 7 or 8 years, I just was like, nah.
Oh, so you've done it all. You was a Marine.
Yeah, I was in the Marines for 6 years, yeah.
What does your wife and kids think?
Well, my wife's my executive producer, so.
Oh, she's part. She's
you met her on Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met on Jerry Springer, and
was it
and,
a fight scene or?
No,
she was working.
She walked on stage, and I said, "If that's not a man, I'm gonna marry her." So. And,
that's romantic.
Why?
That's
manly?
A true story. No, because you never knew. We had a lot of transsexuals on the show.
Yeah.
I was. You're never sure, you know.
But
so
what if she used to be a man? What if she had used to be a man, but?
I'd still marry her. She's pretty good.
There we go.
Now, Steve, we see some strange stuff on Jerry. Did you ever make that mistake before? Like you saw something hot and you...
Well, you know what the strangest thing that ever happened in my mind, and, you know, we had a lot of those situations, and we had transsexuals on the show that were just absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. but we had this one dude. He was a guy. And he got in a fight with another guy, and he started ripping each other's shirts off. And then the one guy just had one perfectly formed female breast.
Really?
I mean, it was gorgeous. And so after, like, we break for, you know, commercial, and we go backstage, and I go, hey, dude, what's up with that? He goes, oh, I was just born that way. And I go, you didn't let anybody know? He goes, well, I didn't think anybody would be into it. Like, who cares?
How much money you can make of the one titty man in America?
Uniboob.
Right. And I asked him out for dinner. And
you went to dinner with him.
And none of it was scripted?
No. I mean, honest to God, if I brought in an uncensored tape and you watched that, it's so violent. And I was on stage. I'm on all those tapes. And even watching it from a different perspective, I said, man, this is crazy. This is really nuts. This is really violent. Listen, when the midget's dating the hot stripper on the show, that might be a little scripted. But when we had these hillbillies on that were sleeping with each other's wives, you know,
that was really happening.
You didn't have to provoke them. You know, they wanted to fight.
Well, let's ask the million-dollar question. Who's a better talk show host, Steve Wilkos or Jerry Springer?
Uh-oh.
I'm the best talk show host on TV, period.
Okay, Steve.
And you can catch him every Monday at 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Channel 11. Congratulations, Steve Wilkos. That was Beyonce with Sorry. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Hurricane Game.
The Game.
Crazy. I'm just happy to be here. I'm really, really happy to see y'all.
When you did the diss record to Meek, I'm like, damn, Game could spit. We up here like, damn, Game is giving balls.
I spent too much time at Daddy Daycare, man, and then, you know, it people
I
forget.
I had to listen to that like 10 times to catch everything.
I listened to that diss record at least 5-6 times. Like, I always knew you could rap, man. It wasn't no debate, but I'm like, nah, yeah, he's a rapper. You know,
in my group chat, my friends were like, did y'all hear the Game as soon as it came out? I was in the car. I was like, put it on now.
You know what's crazy is that when I was writing it, in the studio.
You wrote it in New York. When you
I
got
wrote
here.
It in New York, Quad Studios. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait to get here because I couldn't find a studio in South Carolina. And I was just like, I got to get to New York because I had these, I had everything bubbling inside. And when I wrote it, I felt the same feeling when I was writing 300 bars. You know what I'm saying? So I knew that it was going to be something when I was done.
Now, one of the dream chasers said you had a ghostwriter.
That's crazy because
Chino said that.
I'm always the guy that got a ghostwriter. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody say, well, 50 wrote the first album and yada yada. Well, 50 didn't help write the second album, and the second album still went multi-platinum.
That's
and Game Was Dead. And that's my favorite one. And, you know what I'm saying? Shout to 50 because we chopped it up in L.A. and everything is all good. And then, you know what I'm saying, they say, oh, well, he had a ghostwriter on the second album. And then I did 500 bars after that. It's always Game got a ghostwriter, man. I'm in the studio with my homies, you know what I'm saying, and I just got it off. You know what I'm saying? That was my feeling. You can't ghostwrite what Game says.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because only I talk and speak like that.
Well, on Pest Control, was there anything that you originally had thought you would put in a song and said, nah, you know what? This might be too far.
Too far?
There's so I'm just asking because it went far, but I'm just right, hey, yo,
she got a thing because there was a lot of things that I left out that where I could have went really, really Charlemagne the God. You know what I'm saying? I could have went
pretty,
there.
You was pretty close.
You went far, but
you
I was
talking
like...
talking about shaving somebody's mama's mustache.
That was far. And you know, and it's crazy. I don't like to do mamas, you know what I'm saying? But I did go to the gram. She did have a mustache, so I felt it was fair play.
But like, what are some things that are off limits too far?
I think kids are definitely off limits at all times. Kids, you know what I'm saying? They just... kids. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no one. Really.
No one.
Yeah, nobody.
Now, everybody thinks this is a publicity stunt to sell 1992.
I've sold 25 million albums. I don't understand how that's possible. I don't even care if 1992 sell or don't sell. Like, for the last 15 years of my life, I've been getting money here, there, everywhere. I'm still rich. I'm not going broke ever. It's not about album sales. Albums ain't really selling like they used to. Mm-hmm. You're not even getting that much money. It's all in the all in your advance, and then your back end. You know that gets chewed up by the label, and you really don't never see that. So it's not about selling albums. I'm not the label. I have a label. They gotta make the money that they put out to, you know what I'm saying, produce the album and all of that. So it ain't. I'm not making this record so that the label can make all the money, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it ain't about that with me.
These reports that the police never even question you.
It wasn't, the thing about that is there's not paperwork for talking to the police and implicating someone. It ain't like I said, yo, he snitched on me, told the cops I had 15 bricks in the trunk and I'm facing 25 to life. No, they had conversations with police officers and implicating my crew and me about that. So when police came to my house the day before I left to come on tour, they were asking questions based on what was told to them by these cats. And there's no paperwork drawn up on that.
So why would Meek tell? Like, what did he have to do with the situation?
I don't understand. I really, and I'm being 100% honest, I really don't understand why he did that. I don't understand.
Weren't y'all cool? Y'all were cool, I thought.
We were solid. When what happened was we was in the club. Soon as I seen him, I hadn't seen him in a while. He was on the house arrest thing in Philly or whatever, so I sent the bottle of rosé just from me to him over to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, welcome back, you know what I'm saying? You know, to freedom, just being able to move around. And, you know, I had told him when I was over there, I'm like, yo, cats been getting robbed in L.A., and they have. Cats been getting laid down for their jury. Mm-hmm. And I told him.
Start back up, though.
I told him that, you know, just watch your back and all that. And when you leave, don't wait till the club, you know what I'm saying, end it. Like, you know, get out of here a little bit earlier. So he took my advice. He did that. And after that, Sean Kingston got robbed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because he one of those type of cats that's like, fool. You see Sean Kingston, that's like an easy mark. You know what I'm saying? So Sean Kingston got robbed. We get out the club. 15 minutes later, Sean Kingston called me, bro, that's messed up. You got me robbed. Meek said that you told him that Cats was robbing and that he should go. And then all of a sudden, I get robbed and that's messed up. I said, look, I ain't get you robbed, dog. Mm-hmm. If you need help getting your jury back or you want to ask some questions, I'll help you. Let me get off the phone with you, call Meek. I called Meek. Meek said, man, I ain't tell that fat nothing. So I said, let me get them both on three-way. Got them both on three-way. Kingston saying, you did tell me. Mm-hmm. Meek saying, you know what I'm saying? I didn't tell you. So I just hung up the phone, bro. I didn't have time to argue with them. I let it go.
Now, you know what if saying? Meek would have just said, you know what? All I told him was, you did warn me to get out the club.
Been 100.
And all that's good. Right. It's like, you know, it's like this. Let's just say that, you know, Charlamagne, my man, you know what I'm saying? We've been rocking for over 10 years. It's like, if you come to L.A. for BET Weekend, I tell you, yo, Charlamagne, if you need anything, holla at me. Cats been robbing. I'm your man. This ain't your pocket.
Word.
I got you. And right there in that same conversation is, let's just say, I don't know, Chingy, right? And then Chingy get robbed.
Okay, that's random.
I don't know.
Why
I'm just
saying,
Chingy,
of all people.
Robbed. I don't
like
know, man. You know, I looked at my man headphones. They look blingy. Chingy. So anyway, I leave. Chingy get robbed. And then you tell Chingy, yo, Game just told me to watch out. Then you got robbed. It's him. it would be like, why would my man, why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you rob Chingy? He don't have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying, man.
Now, you took some shots to Nicki, said you want to smash Nicki. I thought you and Nicki was cool. Yeah, y'all
and Nicki, me and Nicki don't become uncool because I want to smash. Nicki's whole thing is because people want to smash. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes Nicki hot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is that people are attracted to her and that she look good and she doing her thing. And if everybody wants to smash you, you're doing a good thing. That's right. Not a diss.
All right, we got more with the game when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Usher, No Limit. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got the game in the building. Charlamagne?
So when you see Sean Kingston on Instagram talking all tough and crazy.
He been calling everybody phone trying to back down off of that. And the crazy part about it is I'm on tour and I'm in New York. But when I get back home and I can really like lay the board out and really play how I want to play, ain't nobody going to be doing all that. Nobody's going to be doing all that. And then, you know, you got people out there that are going to say, well, I thought you were an activist. And I'm not Jesse Jackson. I don't got to be Jesse Jackson for these people. If it's some Black Lives Matter stuff that need to be done and I get up and I serve my purpose and use my platform to do that, then I'm doing that. But if somebody, you know, ratting on me and implicating my name into some stuff when I already got trial, when I'm already facing, you know, time and all of that for some other stuff, then that angers me and I'm off that. Black Lives Matter for a minute. I'm angry about this situation. I'm going to do me. I don't got to be Jesse Jackson for these people 100% of my life. I'm human.
It
I got feelings.
It seemed like you had some reservations, though, after I saw your interview with TMZ.
Right.
So you felt conflicted.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm real. I do feel conflicted. You know what I'm saying? I don't like what's happening with the, you know, two cats that got gunned down. I don't like that. But at the same time, I'm in my skin, in my life, and I have a problem that I'm trying to address and put my attention to. Mm-hmm. Usually I post and I put the positive stuff out there. I say, you know, Black Lives Matter, this is messed up. What are we going to do now? Here it goes again. But I don't want that mixed up with what's going on with this other situation because it's going to look crazy. So I just haven't said anything about it. Doesn't mean that I don't feel, you know, sad. I'm not saddened by, you know, two more brothers getting shot down by the police and none of that. It's just that I don't want it looking crazy. So I haven't voiced my opinion publicly and I don't have to.
Right. Now Meek also reached out to you as well. Did he reach out to you too?
Nah, Meek's been reaching out to me through my family on the 60 side, Nipsey Hussle and Big U. His whole disposition is now he understands why it happened, as if he didn't know what Sean Kingston had did or said or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and at the end of the day, I'm gonna keep it real. Meek is living in Los Angeles in Beverly Hills, right?
That's
He's
crazy.
He's living in Beverly Hills because it might be a slight problem, a slight issue, you know, on the Philly side. So he doesn't want that problem to go there. He know we got to come back home. Worst case scenario, he'd get ran back to Philly, but he just left Philly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nowhere he don't want to be. And at the end of the day, it's hip-hop. You said something, he said something, it's all fair game. Like, what's the problem?
One thing you said, Wack, I thought was interesting. You said that if Meek knew all this stuff about Game beforehand, why do records with
why
him?
Why was you working with him?
So then how do you bring it back around? How can y'all be cool again knowing that that's how you
really
feel?
Well, nah, it ain't
it's
about
not
being
even
cool.
About being cool.
It's just about being able to be, you know, at the same festival or in the same club, conducting your business, and being able to go in and out without it being a problem.
You say that now. What was the conversation like with Fifth?
You know what, man?
That's been a long time coming.
I didn't expect it to go like that. I went over there. I expected him to, you know, be like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Right. Like, not how it was. Right. It was too cool. We chopped it up for about, like, 15, 20 minutes. It was no problem. Nobody got on edge on my side. Nobody got on edge on his side. I went over there. I walked straight through, you know what I'm saying, security. We chopped it up. We held a dap the whole time. You know what I'm saying? And we was, like, as close as I am to this mic.
That was defensive. We both
I'm not letting go.
We both go
arms. Yeah, yeah. No, we both did. No, we definitely did that. Yeah. And I know he was thinking, like, yo, he could. Like, I don't know how his left is. And I was thinking, like, if I feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you why it was bad. Because Monster's standing behind Game, and I'm standing behind 50.
Right.
So either way it went.
It'd have been bad.
Yeah, it was going.
You know, it's going to be a 2-on-2 if it go anywhere. But we chopped it. At the end of the day, me and him couldn't even explain to each other where it really went wrong. And it had been over 10 years, and it was like, we couldn't even explain to each other what happened. Right. You know what I'm saying? We just know that we was young and we was angry and, you know what I'm saying, shots got fired, but it was all good. And we chopped it up, and that ain't necessarily say that it's going to be a G-Unit reunion or we going to do a song, but we solid. And just like he said, so if me and Fifth is in the same club, my side ain't on edge, his side ain't on edge, and we just, you know, we in there. We coexisting.
So where does the beef go from here?
My problem was with one guy, it could stay between me and that guy. It don't got to be whack problem with his man or his cousin problem with my cut. No, my problem is with one man. Let that man face me like a man, and let's figure it out. And if that's a fight, cool. If we talk and we ain't, and no hands are thrown, that's cool. Let that man meet me, talk to me in my face, and let's work it out that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We can do it like that. It ain't got
to
be.
You said he tried to call you, you ain't answer his call.
I was hot that day.
Okay.
I was real hot that day. He did call my phone. I ain't have to Photoshop it. He didn't say it was Photoshop. He said that he called.
It's the game. It's the Breakfast
Club game. Good morning. Man, you know I love y'all.
That was for free, DJ Khaled. Drake, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Beanie Sigel.
Yeah.
Morning, sir.
Beans. Now, we've had some opinions about each other over the past month or so. I heard you on Tax Podcast.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was questioning you with your diss records, man. You sounded like a hater lately, man.
A hater?
Yeah.
How you say that, a hater?
Because I feel like, you know, you put out two diss records, but then you was in the studio with Meek like 8 days prior to the first diss record. And I'm like, if anybody else did that, I think you'd be saying that was a sucker move. That's kind of sneaky.
I don't think you qualified to even say I sound like a hater because you don't know all the particulars. So how you qualified to say I'm a hater? Hate on what?
I'm just telling you basically.
But why do you say I'm a hater?
Because, you know, everything is that used to be me and I used to be in that position.
When did you ever hear me say that?
On Tax Podcast. Absolutely, you said that. You was like, yo, he can't rap better than me, which could be a fact. That used to be me. People come up to me all the time and say when you was in that position, Beans, things was better. It wasn't like
that. So that's a hater or me giving some advice to somebody to move a little different. Did you not also hear me say I don't want you to make the same mistakes I did?
Mm-hmm.
So is that me schooling somebody or sounding like a hater?
It sounds like no disrespect, but then you disrespect them. Okay. Especially because I mean, just for me personally, when you say Meek not real, like, oh, Meek not a real person, he never been in the street. That's cool, but like 8 days prior, you was in the studio with him. Like,
yeah,
you didn't know all that before that?
Yeah, that's why I said that. You sitting back, like I told people, don't let the media, social media, make up your mind. You going by from what you just seeing. You don't know what conversations transpired before that, what events transpired before that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, I jump out the window for somebody who ain't going to even walk out the door. You got to prove yourself, bro. That's what I meant by that. Like, if you got into something and you come and get me, yo, we got to go do this. Hold up. Because I know what I'm going to do.
Got you. But why ride for somebody you don't think real? Like if you
because it's bigger than that particular person. It's for the city. I'm for my city in a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a part of that, a very important part of the city. It's not about me hating on me. I've with me totally. But when you do something now, and it's like, man. So like I said before, I jump all the way out in the wind because I know what I'm gonna do on. Mm-hmm. Another level. Like, it's two levels to this. It ain't about music. It's about that, and it's about
so
that other
shit. Exactly was the...
You ain't qualified to ask me that question. You ain't qualified to get that answer, bro.
Let's rewind it. The Game came up here, and you know, he did a diss record going at Meek, and then we heard a Meek record, and we heard you on the record.
Yeah.
So we thought that... I mean, I think the world thought that you were jumping with Meek and starting to go at Game. So what happened there? Why did you jump on that record?
For my city.
Mm-hmm. But you and Game are cool.
Yeah.
And then Game.
Because it's music.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Just think about it. Game and Meek.
Mm-hmm.
It's music. Ain't not going to transpire from that.
But then Game said that.
Yeah, a few days later, you called him and apologized.
No, that's bullshit. Call Wack on the phone. Get him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
My question to them is, you standing on what you saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to keep reiterating this because I think I clarified that once conversations was going back and I asking the brother, yo, is this real? Because it can get straightened out on a different level.
Right.
So when you say stand down and, all right, well, go ahead, you handle that. But then when game come back and it's like, yo, we got to do this. No, we ain't got to do shit. You got to handle that, bro. You know what I mean? You're dealing with two people. You're dealing with Mac and you're dealing with Beanie Sigel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see, oh, this is some Beanie Sigel shit, I can go in the booth and slaughter them up.
Right. With the records being said, we seen you at the console and people assume that you were helping them write raps. Did you ghostwrite any of those lyrics?
A few of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For both Meek and O'Malley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just the type, if I don't like somebody, I don't pretend to.
Like, that's just bullshit. Because you're a character. That's why.
That's the truth, though.
You're a character,
Life's too short to be wasting your time with suckers or people you think is suckers.
So why I'm here, then? Because I think you're a sucker. So I should be out, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, that's me personally. I wouldn't sit there and have a conversation with a sucker.
Yeah, you'll sit here and you'll bash a little girl, a little mama until she cry. That's what you do. I'm a coward, nigga.
Me and you talking to each other now. I tell you that I think you're a hypocrite.
You can think what you want, then.
And I think you be coming off as a hater sometimes.
Mm. You can think what you want, thing.
All right, well, we got more with Beanie Sigel when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Designer Panda. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Beanie Sigel is in the building. Now, how is it recorded with one lung?
It's hard.
Is it true you got to stop in between songs?
In between bars sometimes. Yeah, my shit twisted up there.
Because we can tell you, even with your voice, you know, the voice is not the same. Does that bother you at all? Because it's not that same.
No, that's why you ain't hear no music from me, because I couldn't embrace that. I'm used to going in the booth and going for 4 or 5 minutes straight, no breath, and had a lot of weight on me at the time. It was rolling like, this is my voice, so I couldn't hear me, because I'm used to me sounding a certain way. I couldn't hear me, and then, you know, I just had to embrace it. Like, it is what it is. This how I sound.
Because even now, when I hear you spit, I have to get over the voice because it ain't the same voice I'm used to.
Yeah.
And you're listening to the bars. It's the same bars, but not the same voice.
Yeah. The content of the music ain't going to never change. Like, I've been through too much than the average person I have. I've been through too much.
Now that's the other thing, too. You named about 4 ailments you were suffering from when you was on Tax Podcast. Does that not make you want to say, you know what? Maybe I need to calm down on the street thing.
Nah, not at all. Because you wouldn't say that. Like, you saying that because the incident that occurred, like I said, ain't nobody in their right mind going to stand straight in front of me and square off. You're going to catch an L. I do this.
I mean, even
on
your
either
present
side,
state,
something up.
You've been making comments about the young rappers, too. You don't think you should just let kids be kids? Because somebody let you be a kid once.
Nah. Somebody need to talk to the kids, dog. Somebody need to get them a real.
Think about it.
I don't. The braids, the dreads.
That's women. Like, men, when men started doing that. You had people in the back in the day like George Clinton. Different is good. It's good. But when you get to the point where as though it's blatant, I shouldn't have to explain to my son why 2 men kissing on TV. I shouldn't have to explain to my son why people wear men is wearing high heels. And would you want to explain that to your son?
Nah, and I don't want to explain to my son why dudes on Instagram with guns either. We saw you on the gram with 2 guns up. Like, feminization, criminalization, neither one is good.
How that's criminalization? They was props.
So, I mean, I hear you talk about the kids' clothes. You remember you did the State Property clothing line. I remember an interview you did where you said they got the little compartments to hide your guns and hide your dope. Like, it could have that looks crazy. And when you think
quiet,
about it,
Charlamagne, shut up. What's up, man?
So when is the new project coming out? And are you staying independent? Are you signed? What's the future for Beanie Sigel?
Man, I might do a double CD. How this music coming out? I'm gonna get back to the other music though. I just had to load up a clip on that side just in case. It's hip hop.
So what happens if Meek calls you and be like, "Yo, Mac, what's up? Let's squash this."
Put the phone call in. Let's sit down and talk about it.
It's just that simple.
It's that easy.
But in your mind, you still think he's not real. He's a sucker.
You keep saying that. I'm not going to let you put words in my mouth. You keep saying
that. You said that.
Regardless, though.
You said, I'm not putting words in your mouth. You said that.
regardless. Why you keep harping on that? We answered that. So don't talk out your neck because you want what you want. If you saying you want unity, stop keep doing that, man. Don't stop playing
that's
with me, man.
It's confusing, my brother.
It ain't confusing. Like, it's confusing to you because you don't know the severity of the situation.
If you do a 2.5-hour record,
you don't know the severity of the situation, man.
But it can't be that.
It's too close to home. It's too close to home. We'll see. Like I said, I don't know. I might not pick that call up, but we'll see.
All right.
I mean, that'd be the better move. That'd be the smarter move for me. I don't want to walk a track in somebody's prison the rest of my life.
All right.
I don't want to do that. So that'd be what Beanie Sigel should do. Mm. Like I said, it got what Mac want to do, but what Beanie Sigel want to do is just that.
Well, I know I'm not qualified to speak on this, but you can understand how some people don't think what you're doing is all the way solid.
You might not think that, and you're not qualified, dog. You're a radio personality, man.
That is
you don't
a fact.
Come from my world. You wouldn't understand my world. You don't come from my world. You don't know nothing about that, man.
Nah, I don't.
Yeah, stop running your fucking mouth, man.
And I don't want
to. Stop running your fucking mouth. You shouldn't. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
No doubt.
You're talking about somebody who went to war with police. It's dangerous. Attempted murders in the height of my career. It's dangerous. You don't know nothing about that, man.
No.
You sit up here and your job is to play games. But play with something safe, man. Don't play with me.
All right. Beanie Sigel. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day goes to ex-Ohio State superstar football player Troy Smith. Now, Troy Smith got arrested for drunk driving, and cops found a little marijuana, a little weed in his car. Okay, now, drunk driving while on drugs is stupid and selfish, and that by itself is Donkey of the Day worthy, but TMZ Sports obtained the dash cam video shot by the police officers when they pulled over the Heisman Trophy winner. And this takes it to a whole nother level. I always find it amusing when people are drunk because when I'm drunk, I don't think I'm impaired. Meaning, I know what's going on. I know what I'm saying. When I see people like Troy Smith, I question if I've ever really been drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Can we hear this traffic stop, please?
How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm an officer, sir.
What's that?
I'm an officer.
You're an officer?
No. I'm great.
Mm-hmm. How much alcohol you consume tonight?
None.
Fair to say, what's your highest level of education?
I graduated from Ohio State.
Okay.
My name is Troy Smith.
Okay. College degree?
I've graduated from Ohio State with a degree in bachelor's.
Okay. Fair to say you know the alphabet, sir?
Definitely, but
okay.
That's what I'm trying to ask you. What?
I just want to make sure you're not impaired, sir.
Not at all.
Okay. Can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
I can definitely recite the ABCs from A to Z.
From C to W. Can you do that?
C... D, E, F, G, H, I. I just want to go home.
Okay, turn around for and put your hands behind your back.
Okay, where do we start? All right. First of all, he said he had no alcohol. Lie.
The lie detector test determined?
Yes. Second, he said, I'm officer. What does that even mean? What were you trying to say? Hi, officer?
Yes, he said, hi.
Maybe you said, I'm an officer's relative. You had a fraternal order of police card.
Maybe.
As soon as you said, I'm officer, the police knew you were drunk, okay? They were just going along with you to see how good this was going to get. And it got better. Because what exactly is a degree in bachelor's? You have a degree in single men? What kind of profession do you start with that degree? Do you get eligible bachelors and hook them up with women who are looking for them? You have a degree in pimpology? Huh? Now, in his defense, the police hit him with a trick question with that alphabet thing. Okay, starting that C is a little difficult, but just sound it off in your head. A, B, boom, then start at C, and you wouldn't have any problem. But, bruh, you got stuck after I? I need to hear it one more time. Can I hear it one more time, please?
Can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
I can definitely recite the ABCs from A to Z.
From C to W. Can you do that?
C, D, E, F, G, H, I.
just want to go home.
Damn. Now, let's be clear. The cop was trying to be funny when he said recite the alphabet from C to W, because the CW was a black network that was the home of Dwayne's brothers, girlfriends in the game, okay? Y'all need to stay woke out here, all right? That cop knew what he was doing, okay? And you have to give the man, Troy, a little bit of props, because he used the last letter he could remember in the alphabet to form a complete sentence. Play it one more time. Just listen to what he did. This is genius.
C, D, E, F, G, H, I.
Just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
Amazing. Drop one of the cool bombs for Troy, damn it. Okay? He should get some points for that. All right? Oh, please, man. Give Troy Smith the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right.
You got to give him a little bit of props. He failed the field sobriety test, but that was a little bit of genius. The last letter you can remember is I, and then you just finish with a complete sentence, just want to go home. Oh, round of applause to Troy Smith, man.
My goodness. All right.
That was amazing.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
And I can't wait to hear him butcher this name.
We have an orgy in the building.
I can't wait for him to butcher this name.
We're having an orgy. Okay. Is that how you pronounce your last name? Orgy?
It's orgy. In Nigeria, I'm Nigerian, so it's orgy. But here it's orgy.
Yvonne Orgy?
Yvonne Orgy.
Yvonne Orgy.
You are
an orgy. AKA Molly from Insecure.
The name Yvonne is a very common popular.
Yvonne is
common. I can't believe
you
just called it
orgy. Hey, that Y threw me off. All of Yvonne. I know start with E from.
No, they all start with Y.
They all start with Y.
Well, I don't know any Yvonne then. Yvonne Orgy.
Well, Ms. Orgy, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, y'all.
We love Insecure.
Thank you.
I love your character. You remind me of Tony Childs.
I get that all the time. And I love that people like say it like it's new. Like, has anyone ever took? Yes. 25,000 people tell me every day.
Did you study up for that role or?
Well, you know, Issa sent me the. She hit me up when it was about to go on, and I was just like, I read the script, and I was like, I need this in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I know this chick. Mm-hmm. And so it was 5 auditions before I actually booked it. It was intense, but, like, when I read it, plus I knew Issa, I'd watch Awkward Black Girl, and I was like, I get this voice. Like, mm-hmm. I know this character, so I really wanted it.
In my research of you, I found out you were a virgin.
True story.
And you a hoe on the show? Okay, not hoe.
She's not a
sexually
hoe.
Sexually free.
Well, you're a virgin now?
I'm a virgin now, yeah.
Wow.
See, yeah. I thought you were just celibate.
My sister's a virgin, too. My sister out there, she's a virgin, too.
Oh, what up?
She yeah, lying. She is. Sage is she's a virgin lying. Also.
Now, is that she 100% is a virgin.
Virgin? Virgin, yeah. You know how black people, like, when you do it twice. Yeah.
Oral, what about you? Never oral virgin?
I'm a virgin.
Bro, wow.
You ever played with yourself?
I'm sure.
No, actually, I don't.
Really?
Why don't we let, no, no.
You lie.
I promise you.
Why do people know you a virgin?
It comes out, like, I don't hide it.
It's
like the same way
it's
people
a proud
know.
Virgin.
Why not? Yeah. The same way people, like, know somebody had a one-night stand. It's like, you can say that, and I can say, like,
that's
no,
amazing.
Actually.
Yeah.
Do you want to masturbate?
No, I don't.
Do you want to have sex?
I absolutely do.
Really?
I absolutely do.
How do you know you want to have sex if you've never had it, Yvonne?
I mean, that's like, if, really?
Yvonne, really?
Yvonne.
Really? I'm like, when I saw the Sony commercial and they got in the elevator and the dude opened up water and it was just all over her, and I was like, maybe I need some Dasani in my life. Like, I need that kind of water. Like, if sex is used to sell toothpaste. Like, I know it's good.
This I'm sure that doing Insecure might make you want to have sex because you have some great sex scenes.
Molly well,
you
be know, popping.
Like, Molly be popping. What's funny, it's like, it really does get in your spirit because when me and Jared, because we did like a bulk of our sex scenes like on the same day. It like I remember going home like, I got on my phone though. Cause like, it's like this dude was just like, even though like we're simulated, it's like this dude was just like on top of me and it's just like, ooh, and I had to like.
So you still get come. Wet. You get wet and everything.
Oh my gosh. You're still a human being. You're not a robot.
I'm a virgin, not like a.
You still have
I'm not a mannequin challenge.
I need you to shut up, Envy. Envy. This is a human being. She breathes as well. She pees. She defecates. She sweats.
She gets her period.
She never has ever had sex yet.
Jesus Christ.
I want to know how. How can I tell my daughter? What do I tell my daughter? Because this is beautiful.
Be Nigerian.
What do I
do? Being Nigerian has a lot to do with it.
Personally, I had plans to have sex by the time I turned 18. Like mm-hmm. I knew the dude. I was like, it's on popping, pop.
So it was like coming to America. You already knew who wife he was gonna be. It's like that.
No, but like I definitely knew. I had him figured out, and then I got to college when I was 17. Well, the reason I was going away to 18, my mom's a nurse. And so I was like, if I ever get pregnant, I don't need them talking to my mama.
Right.
And she African. And what do you mean pregnant? I was not, like, I just not.
It's not going
to
work.
Well, yo, going back to Nigeria today. Like, it was like I was just like, I'm not going to be able to make it. So I was like, when I turn 18, I'm going to be an adult. Like, you know, I'm going to call my mama. And then I got to college, just got saved, like, at 17. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know.
See, most people I know who get saved after they've already had sex. Because I have some friends that are saved, and they've become born again.
Yeah. Especially after an STD.
Anyway.
So is it Christ, culture, or choice?
What do you mean?
She got
that you're a virgin. All three?
Yeah, both. Like, okay. I don't separate. Like, my religion and faith and all that's really important to me.
Now, when you meet a guy and you start dating, do you have to tell him, like, on the first date or?
No, because I don't think that's the first thing about. I don't think that's the most important thing about
it's
me,
not
right?
The most important thing.
Now it is, because they're insecure.
Because
they're insecure, people probably look at you and they think, I wonder if she is freaky as
but
loose
does it
as
turn
Molly.
Some guy, like, does it make some guy say, well,
I don't. The thing about it is, like, I'm very secure in myself. Like, I know that everybody's not for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't go in there naive. Like, but you should still like me, because I'm like, it's 2016. People popping off. Like, right. I know people want to do this. So I'm not, like, naive enough to be like, but I'm still a good person. It's just like, we have a nice date. If it comes up, then I'm like, oh, by the way, yeah, no, it's just something. I'm like, I say it as casual as like, no, actually, I would like water instead of, you know, like, right. I don't make a big, some people make a big deal out of it. Like, well, you know, there's this thing.
I have to,
like,
talk to you about
something.
Yeah,
I'm just like, it's not.
How many guys bounced after you told them?
There are a couple, and I'm like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm on HBO now.
that's why you good wife material. You keep you as wife and just have a side chick until, you know, y'all grow into something else.
That's the advice that you're going
to
give?
That's don't listen to him. You,
yeah, I'm just saying, the guys out there, this is great wife material.
I've got t-shirts that say, keeping it locked till I get that rock. Like,
you have a t-shirt?
I have a t-shirt company.
Come on.
It says, keeping it locked till I get that rock. Holler at it at www.rockyourstance.com.
Wear that on the first date.
and it's real catchy, whatever. And, like, the dude knew about all of this. And he was like, nah, you cool. Like, you know, we're just cool. We're chilling. One day, he was like, but, I mean, if we're going to be in a relationship, we got to have, like, compromises. And I was like, relationship? I'm not looking for us to be in a relationship. I hit him with Molly's line. I'm not looking for us to be in a relationship. But also, like, this is a core value. We can compromise on what movie to see. Mm-hmm. We can compromise on if we want Thai food versus Chinese food. Sir, no, sir. And, like, legitimately ghosted me. And then ghosted me. And then, like, 3 months later, sent me a card, like,
a card.
I'm sorry I fell out of your life when you wouldn't have sex with me. I was like,
was this after the first episode of Insecure?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've had some.
Have cards that say that? Or he wrote
no,
that?
No, he wrote that in the card.
That's amazing.
Hold my card. Get on that. I'm sorry I fell out of your life when you wouldn't have sex with me.
I am so much more impressed by your character now on HBO, because I know you're really acting now. Doing a great job.
I have to. Can I tell a funny story?
Please.
The scene where Jared comes in. You know, he has the wine, and we, like, bypass the food, and we go straight to
him. He throw you on the wall?
No, that was the first scene. The second scene is the doggy style scene.
Doggy style, okay.
So in rehearsal, you know, I'm a dancer. Like, I'm African, so I'm a dancer. I'm like, I know how to move, whatever. You know, I'm just I keep a body roll in my front pocket, like, just, you know, all that. And so, you know, we're doing the scene in rehearsal, and I'm a little off beat because, you know, I grew up with three brothers, so I'm like, I take charge. And so the lady, Di, who works in wardrobe, she was like, she took me to the bathroom. She was like, you got to let the man leave. So she, like, got behind me, and I'm like, practice it. And she was like, all right, now go call him in the bathroom. I was like, you want me to go call the dude? She was like, yeah. So I called Langston, who plays Jared. I was like, so they said we were kind of, like, out of sync and off rhythm, so you want to, like,
practice in the bathroom.
So y'all practice in the bathroom by yourself?
We practice. But here's the thing. So, like, we come out, and I'm, like, in character. So I'm like, stay focused or whatever. I come out, and it's, like, all the sound. And camera dude's like, y'all all right? I was like, oh, my God. And we just talked about everything. So by the time we got to set the next day, we were, like, really comfortable with it.
That's good.
What did your mom say about that?
You know, God bless it. I thought my mom was going to be in Nigeria, not seeing nothing, right?
Yeah.
And she is in Nigeria. The problem is Insecure is now playing on the continent.
That's a blessing. Mm. Drop one of Clues bombs for that.
So
that's
your
a
mom
blessing.
Seen that and said what?
She has it, so they're delayed. So they're right now on episode two. So
you gotta warn them.
Listen, Linda.
That's gonna be funny.
I can just say, Yvonne, what is the meaning of all of this nonsense? This is not why we brought it to America. I'm like, Ma.
But she loved the fact that you got a nice, good paying job.
See, yo.
I know.
Mom, if you listening, you be all right.
All right, we got more with Miss Orgy when we come back. Yvonne Orgy, Molly from Insecure. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Drake with Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Molly from Insecure, Yvonne Orgy.
Is it true you used to get bullied in high school?
I got bullied from third grade to eighth grade.
For what? Why? You seem like such fun.
Thank you. Well, when I came, because I was born in Nigeria, and when I got here, I had this thick accent. So, of course, you know, you were called the African booty scratcher and all that stuff. And then I have big lips, which now people pay for. But back then,
that's
I had
amazing,
like...
right?
Yeah. And so you called me, like, soup coolers or fat cat from Rescue Rangers. Y'all remember Rescue Rangers?
Yeah, so, Chippendale.
Chippendale. Wow. Rescue Rangers. Yeah. So they would call me fat. I went to the theme song. I did. So, yeah, so I got bullied. And here's the funny thing. Like, African parents don't care that you don't have friends. Like, like they didn't bring you to America for you to have friends. Like, mama, friends, what... Are you getting A's? That's all you need. Like, I'm like, no, I actually want people to talk to you when I'm eating. Okay, it doesn't matter to you. So my mother would always say, they're just jealous of you. All of them, they're just jealous of you. And one day she was just like, you know, one day you're going to work for them. So, or they're going to work for you. So in the heat of getting bullied, like, you know when, like, it gets to the rim and, like, it's about to boil off? Mm-hmm. We were in seventh grade, and I'll never forget it. I just, like, the only thing that came out of me was, like, one day you guys are all going to work for me. And they were like, wait, what?
That accent probably scared the hell out of them white people.
But it was just like, we're in seventh grade. Right. We don't even know what we want to be in life next year. Right. So not only did I get clowned even more for that, like, it was just like, I got home like, my, it didn't work.
Did anybody ever tell you to calm down your Africanness or blackness the way they wanted you to tell that girl on that episode?
Well, you know, because of the bullying, I became more American. So, like, I'm like, I talk like this. When I'm back home, it's like my people.
So you're fronting.
It's double consciousness. I'm
Molly. Everybody, it's like a patois that you have, too.
Yeah. It's both, yeah.
I just don't like turning down the blackness for white people. Right. See, the problem is we lump blackness and ratchetness and ghetto-ness together.
Thing. Yeah.
But not the same thing.
It's not because, like, they're different types of black. Like, I told Issa, I was like, this being on the show is a new type of black experience for me because I'm African and I grew up in the suburbs.
Right.
And even though I went to school with black people, it was like, that was different. I was like, now being on this show, I'm seeing the sophisticated ratchet folks. Like, I'm seeing, like, a different element of blackness. And so people automatically assume, like, oh, you're black, you get it. It's like, no, there's different types of blackness. I lived in Harlem. Shout out to Harlem, 134th.
Broadway. Why are you all the
shaking?
Because
no one does that anymore.
Stop with that shit.
Because my shoulders just can't help it. And I love being back. Like, I don't know, like.
You're from Yonkers.
I know. It doesn't matter. I've been thrown out
all the town.
You know how, like, you wear all your clothes on Christmas Day? Like, I got Nike up here. I got New Balance down there. It's just like, I'm from Yonkers. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I went to a DMX concert in 2014. I got my whole, like, I literally thought I was, like, Dark Man X.
That's one of my favorite person to interview.
Oh, my God. Hey, yo, where my dude at? Like, I just.
And he's really like that.
That's his regular talking about. Every time his album, and I don't know, maybe I loved him because he always had a prayer on his album. Mm-hmm. Dear God, my father. I come to you humbly, and it's like, oh, my God, yep. He just needs a hug. He just really, he doesn't understand the dress got him.
There you go. Harlem Shake. He's Harlem Shake. Harlem Shake.
And then the body roll. They call me the body roll killer on that. Francis, that was for you, because I just keep a steady body roll. It works your core is what it does. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to go to the gym. You just plant your feet and just for no reason.
You don't body roll like a virgin, by the way.
Harlem Shake.
Bam. You don't body roll like a virgin, by the way.
A virgin body.
A little tighter.
I don't like him, but I love him. I love him though. But thank you guys for watching. I do appreciate it.
Y'all got renewed for a second season. Drop one of cool bombs for that.
Get at me, dog. Get at me, homie.
Second season body roll.
Damn.
You got Aaron.
Yvonne Orgy.
I love you guys.
Yes, watch Insecure.
And we appreciate that she hit us on Twitter and then really came through the show.
Came through. I was like, yo, I'm in New York for 2 days. Let's make this happen.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys so much for wanting me to be on the show.
Only two more episodes left every Sunday, 10:30.
It gets gangster. It's uphill from here. It gets gangster with the last two.
Is Charlamagne gonna cry again like he did the last couple of episodes?
Did you cry?
I was so mad at Issa when she had sex with that boy in that studio. That's how I know I like the show, because I'm emotionally invested.
But here's the thing, though. She, like, came at somebody, because after the dude who got elected president, after he got elected, she was on Twitter, and some dude wrote back,
cheater.
She was like, if you don't shut your taking TV characters to heart, so like, she was like, this is scripted TV. Like what Marlon said, it's just TV. She was like, if you don't shut your tail up, like, this is not the time or place. We got bigger fish to fry. And the dude was just like, cheater, period. You know what's bad when you put a period at it? Like,
but forget all the other great things people were saying. Yeah. I love you. You're so great. You're so proud. Somebody writes, cheater.
I'm going to text her that today just to mess with it. Cheater, I'm a tweeter. Cheater.
Everybody tweet Issa Rae. Cheater.
Tweet Issa Rae. Everybody tweet Issa Rae. Hashtag cheater right now.
Issa, no.
Yvonne Orji is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Tory Lanez with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests here.
Egypt and Pep is here.
Egypt and Pep is here.
Growing up hip hop.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Are you an artist, Egypt, too?
Yeah.
Okay, you rap or sing?
I sing.
Okay.
Mama, how do you like that?
You know what? She wanted really bad, and I like it. She do have a song called Our Time that she just completed. I'm not mad at it now.
So she can skip college.
Right. You know.
Can I?
I didn't get a chance to finish college. And I know it was like, forget college, you know, pursue your dreams and everything. I was just adamant about it because even from when she was growing up, I was like, everyone's like, oh, put her in this and put her in that. Because I was bumping into all these agents and things like that. And I was like, nope. I didn't want to be a child star. I really didn't want that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like now she's came into her own and she's strong. And she showed me like this amazing, like, energy, and she wanted bad, so I'm not gonna kill it or stop it. And I see the music that she is working on, and I'm like, okay.
But
I'm
that's sure a lot of pressure, Egypt. Your daddy Tretch, your mama Pepper. Like, that's a lot of pressure. Can you handle that?
I believe I can. I've been preparing for it since I was a little girl, ever since I knew that I wanted to be an artist, really. So I think I can definitely handle it.
And you're only 18 years old now.
Yeah, she just turned 18. She actually was 60 when she got on Grown Up Hip Hop.
Wow. So wow. You're the youngest one.
You say that like y'all lied. Like that was a scam. Like y'all told her she was older to get on the show.
She's 17. I did. No. I'm like, she's 17. She'll be 18. Like, put her on.
They don't check no paperwork or nothing.
Now, Mama, we know all the stuff that you probably been through on tour, being a teen star. Are you fine with that for your daughter, going on tour, meeting guys? And
I'm on tour now, and it's crazy. You know, they be formation around me because I, you know, I'm in the club, and so my crew be like, all right, Pep, like, watching me. I know I will be there as much as I can or have somebody with her to replace me, but I already know she's a... I know what moms always say, so far,
she's
so great.
Girl.
She is a good girl. She does curse. It's like some people writing some music for her. They was like, I'm like, no cursing, no N-word. And we were practicing one song that we love that someone wrote. And it was like, try to fix the N-word. I don't want you kind of saying it. Even though we say it, I say it, but...
Egypt, do you ever say, Mama, y'all wrote Push It?
Okay. Like,
but y'all. They still didn't curse. Y'all still didn't curse and Push It.
No. Just very sexual.
Talking about sex.
There's no cursing in that. That was in every ad about safe sex and talking about having that conversation.
So she could have a sexual song then.
But I'm not that. I let her live a little. I'm not that in the beginning of my career. I was racy, a little edgy. But compared to what now, please.
Right, it's nothing.
Oh, come, that's nothing.
But what about I'll Take Your Man?
Right.
Ooh.
But. Ooh. I mean, I can see her. I let her live. Honestly, I do let her live. That was just something that, you know, business, somehow online classes or something.
Do you like your mom and dad's music, Egypt? You're a Naughty by Nature, Salt and Pepper fan?
To be honest, like, since I've been around my mom most of my life, like, I've listened to more of her music, and mm-hmm. I love my dad's music. I just don't think I've, like, actually listened to as much as I should have.
Gotcha.
But he is very talented, and I love the way
one
he
of the
raps.
Most underrated, by the way.
Yeah, like,
ooh, and that song, Everything's Gonna Be Alright, he didn't have his dad. I never knew my dad.
Right.
What's the next line?
Mother effer.
That's a line that you cannot say nowadays without getting blackballed.
I know. I'm like,
did you ever ask your daddy what OPP was when you was a kid?
No, I asked her, actually. I said, Mom, what is OPP? She was just like, she wouldn't tell me, so I went on Google and I found out.
I found
out
on Google.
How old are you when you
That
asked?
Is a song that, while you're here, I'm going to be honest.
OPP?
What? You said why I'm here?
Yes.
Wait, why who was other people's property?
Because that when that song first came out, I didn't put a face to the video. Like, there was nothing really, like, you know, social media. Like,
yeah.
I was like, who are these people talking like this? Like, this rap was hot. It was just crazy. And I kept trying to see who this group is, you know. And I was like, because I loved that song when I first heard it. I was like, oh, my God. Then it was at the MTV, at the Daytona Beach, you know, when MTV was doing
spring break
stuff. And I met him there. They were doing the OPP, and the day I met him.
And you said, I got some pee for you.
That's when OPP and Pusha collided.
I'll tell you. It's from that moment we've been together.
Wow. So when you Googled it, what came up? Just other people's property?
I didn't look up images. I didn't say images. I went to all, and then it just said
Talking to Mike.
What did you get, red boy? She get red.
Owned personal property.
Okay. I don't know what it said.
Just I don't think I went to the Urban Dictionary. I think that would have said
Urban Dictionary. I learned a lot from the Urban Dictionary, too.
I love y'all dynamic. That's dope, man.
It's on WE TV.
It's on WE.
Oh, yeah. WE
Thursdays.
Thursday nights, 9 p.m.
9 p.m.
Well, we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Up in Egypt.
Yes, and tweet us when you read the book and let us know.
Definitely.
Your reaction.
Yeah, don't go on a Twitter rant about nobody. Just,
like, you know,
keep it to yourself.
They
call
get all these tweets.
I should let her do it, right?
Yes.
Y'all, right? That'd be interesting.
Just tell me where it is, and then.
She said, tell me where it is.
We're
going to do it.
And she's a good girl.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.